You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, guys. It's Monique Leray. I'm in the car. Can you believe it? We're post-pandemic, but I'm still in the car. Sometimes life is lifing and you're in your car. But you know what's good about this? I'm on my way to this fabulous gala. I want to share with you guys, this is for transplant recipients. You know, it is celebrity charity season. I'm in my gown, in my gala era, this portion of the Q4. So before we get to our first guest, I want to share with you guys that we will be at this gala in Beverly Hills after the show. And we're helping transplant recipients. You know, I like to spread as much love. So brands and swag, if you have something of value, if you want to get your brand out there, we do that kind of thing. So we are going to this gala in Beverly Hills, and I'll post a little later. But without further ado, across the pond, we have Lyndon, our artist. He is also a former music producer. Lyndon Haynes is here. Lyndon, welcome back to The Startup. How are you?
I'm good, Monique. Thank you for having me again. Good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you as well. And it's so good to have you back. And I understand the 8-hour time difference is always midnight when we talk, but give us an update. Let's go full screen. Tell everybody about your brand, your book, how you got here, and give us an update since you were here last.
Okay, yeah. So the brand is me, Lyndon Haynes. I'm an author. I'm a screenwriter. I used to be a musician, so I'm not really doing too much music now. But yeah, I'm more focusing on my books, my novels, and my screenplays. And yeah, since the last time we spoke, I've just been trying to finish the follow-up to the Paper Trail, so the sequel to Paper Trail. So that's nearly done at the moment. And I'm also working on, I'm ghostwriting something for somebody. I can't really talk too much about it because they've asked me to not talk about it. But yeah, I'm just doing some research work on another book that I'm going to be writing for somebody else. So yeah, a lot of things happening. It's been all good. Loving your podcast. I think everyone's loving the last show we did. So yeah, really happy at the moment.
You know what? I love that. Thank you. Let's talk about it, though. Like, what are they loving? What are they not loving? What are we giving? What can we do better? Like, what are the people saying?
They love the energy, man. Like, I think especially your energy there. I'm pretty laid back. So they like the energy between us and how the show went. And, you know, the questions that you asked were really, like, good and pertinent to the book and stuff. So especially with the music connections on the chapters and stuff, I think people are really liking that. So yeah, it's a good interview. Still doing the rounds, so I'm happy with it.
I love it. I'd love to hear that feedback. You know, sometimes as entrepreneurs, it's a little harder to hear the feedback that sucks. You know, the challenging feedback, because you want to do good. You want to knock it out of the park. You want to do good by yourself and others, but sometimes you can't get it all the way right. And sometimes you can't make everybody happy. Why don't you speak to me about that? Let's just lean in a little, like, let's talk about the grimier parts of things, right? Like, mm-hmm. Has there been an instance where perhaps you've dropped the ball, or maybe you just, you know, maybe we're a little too thin in time and your heart was good, your ambition was good, but you couldn't write, get it there. Like, let's talk to entrepreneurs that perhaps feel a way about that. Can you relate?
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. This is the creative industry, you know. You're trying to deliver the best you can, and sometimes it just doesn't happen, whether it's because of the team around you or whether it's just yourself. You haven't really done what you're supposed to do. I mean, I've had plenty of times where I'm supposed to do certain features or make it like a short film and stuff like that, and I've had to cancel because the people that I was relying on were not really reliable. And it hurts me because it's my vision, it's my creative process, and I want to be in charge of that all the time, as I'm sure you can imagine, you know. So it hurts when, you know, you set something up, you've really scheduled a lot of dates and everything, and then it doesn't happen. You know, I've also had rejection from the industry, some of the big players in the industry, you know, like over here, the BBC, you know, Channel 4, Netflix, places like that, where I've sent in projects and stuff and I've not got any feedback, or I've got rejections because maybe it doesn't fit the tastemakers at the time. And it is hurtful because you take it personally, because it's your personal you know, vision, as I said. And you know that it's good in your own mind, but then when you share it and somebody else sees it and they don't quite have that same feeling, you know, as an artist, it hurts you because that's your creative, you know, that's your creative idea. You know what I'm saying? So it has been tough.
I don't want people
to think I'm sitting here like doing grand. It's been a tough road, but we roll with the punches, you know?
Yes, I was writing in, to your point, Wale's song, Ambition.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling my partner, like, that's my song. Like, if, you know, for entrepreneurs, like, sometimes you get depressed or whatever it is, to pull yourself up, like, you have to have your playlist, like, whether it's to the gym or sometimes we just need it to get out the bed. Like, you know, you speak the truth. I think where the sweet spot perhaps could be, and where I found in some instances, I'm not saying this is a blanket for everyone, but the sweet spot could be where ambition, your vision of your project and what the client wants and what the mainstream wants, if you can get it where everybody wins, not saying anyone sells out, but if we can meet that sweet spot, sometimes, even if you do it, you know, for your first couple projects or first couple years of getting off the ground, you see artists go off into a different direction. And I feel like that's where they get free, because they did it where they could get where they needed financially and name wise. And then, but is that true in the music industry and in the authoring industry, would you say, in the book?
Yeah, it's most definitely, you know, I think it works in every industry, the film industry, the author, the, you know, the literary industry, and also the music industry. In my days of doing music, I remember when we got signed to Virgin Records, they signed us because of our uniqueness and how we sounded. But once we were there on the label, they wanted us to sound a bit different to how we sounded. And that was really to fit in with, you know, their narrative of how they can promote and push us. And it was something that, you know, we pushed back against originally. But now I'm a bit more grown and I understand the industry a bit more. I understand that you have to kind of compromise your ideas sometimes and work collaboratively to get a project to the place that it should be. I'm not saying you should sell out and you should, you know, like, forget your own vision and where you're coming from. But if you're going to work with other people, then you have to take on board their ideas too. And if it gets you to that place where, as you said, it brings your brand up to another level, or it gives you a platform to where you can then start to begin to branch off, then sometimes, you know, we have to play the game, and it is a game that we have to play. So, you know, that's how it works.
No, that's real tea, right? You guys, I got you British tea across the pond. Lyndon Haynes right here. Lyndon, do you have the book by you? I do not have it with me in the car.
I do, man, I do. I don't know if you can
see it. Show them that. Let's show it to them. Let's give it to a paper trail, you guys. I read the first few pages in bed with tea, and I read it to my partner, and I said it in a British accent. We had tea. I tried to have crumpet. I didn't have crumpet or any like Vegemite or whatever. I did it as British as I could do in Laguna. Okay. And I am so intrigued. Holy smokes. Like, you guys, out the gate, this book will tie you in, pull you in. And I can see this being a Netflix special or something. Like, Lyndon, tell us right now, let's manifest, like, what, where do you see it going? And I know you're working on part two, but like, what's your feedback from people? But what, where do you see it going? And how can we get there? Let's go full screen, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, it's exactly like what you're saying. Like, when you are reading it, it puts you in that place where you visualize it, you can see it on the big screen. And, you know, our discussion last time, I said to you, God willing, that that's where it goes to, because that's the ultimate goal for me. So when I do write, I want to write so it can translate onto the big screen. I watch a lot of drama, crime series on TV, on Netflix, etc. And I believe Paper Trail can fit right in there, you know, once somebody reads it and they see the potential of where it can go and what it can be, the characters, everything, you know, the language that I use as well, you know, I keep it authentic as well. I think that it should be made into a series, you know, and I think that it's a project that any major network would want to pick up, because a lot of things that we watch nowadays are based on adaptations of books. So I don't see why mine can't be in the same lane as the others that we're watching at the moment. And I definitely write in that way because I want it to be very visual so that you can actually see every scene that I create and all the characters, you can feel them as well. So, yeah, that's what I pray for, man. I hope that it happens soon.
Yes, 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 yes. So I want to draw to everyone's attention to yours specifically. Do you remember The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the original show?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So do you do you remember the readaptation of it?
Yes.
Okay. So what happened was this young man had such a foresight, and I kind of feel that energy from you, that it got the attention of Will Smith. I was in one of Will Smith's videos way back in the days when I was in videos, but okay. That's another lifetime.
Was it Summertime?
But it was fun. No, it wasn't. It was, Summertime is really good. No, I wasn't that back in the day, but it was, I don't remember. That's what 47 is. But I have been, I'll pull it up. But I think it was, you guys, this is what 47 is when you're so tired. I was an extra, so it doesn't matter. I wasn't featured. I didn't have the things. But
that's cool. That's cool.
I want to draw to your attention. I will remember by the time we're done. But I was bringing that up because the gentleman that the entrepreneur, and he was smart. He had a reimagining of it, right? So it was a darker turn of The Fresh Prince. It wasn't so happy. And then Will saw it, right? And no one signs for that many that many seasons or episodes up front. And Will was all the way on. So I was thinking, you know, for your vision, like, you guys, everybody think outside the box. We have all the tools, all the Wi-Fi, all the, you know, we have all the platforms that we can do. I know we have to be with standards, right? With, you know, agents and submissions, but think outside the box a little bit. Go left when they want you to go right. Do something. Reimagine an idea. Don't get in any legal trouble or, you know, mess anybody's creativity up. Partner with people. Reach out to people. Sometimes people just need that phone call. You're only one phone call away from a yes.
I agree. And also, like, as I said to you last time we spoke, that I wanted to reach a global audience, whether that's, you know, in a book or in a series. So, you know, I think I encourage people to, especially in America, take a chance. Like, you know, someone like me who's writing something that's really good, I may not have the platform as the major writers out there, but the story is just as good, just as important. And it's just got as much style and finesse that it can make something on the big screen. So that's the ambition. You know, we pray that we get there. With your help, I'm sure I'll get there, you know. So
you're going to get there. You're already there. We just have to manifest it in 3D. Speaking of which, Tyler Perry's company, shout out to you guys. Get with Mr. Lyndon Haynes, Uncle Selwyn. Get with Lyndon Haynes. Al Reynolds, where you at? Get with Lyndon Haynes. Everybody in the collective, in my circle, you guys check for Lyndon Haynes. He's talented. He's paid his dues in the industry. He's authoring amazing content and it keeps you engaged. So get into this, get across the pond. And also, anybody in Cali, anybody in New York, anybody in the United States that is a producer or director and has a little bit of a budget and wants to get out of America right now and expand their network and their business, check with Lyndon Haynes, partner, talk to him. He's open. And pull that book up one more time, Lyndon. Let's see that cover.
Hope you can see it. Like,
yes, God. Push it close. Push it close. Yeah, push it real close because you have the green screen. You guys, Paper Trail is now available on Amazon. It is holiday season. Someone's having a birthday. Someone's having a Kwanzaa, a Hanukkah, a Christmas, whatever you guys are doing. Get this book. Let's support Lyndon and get him out here on the next level. Lyndon, I can't wait to see you next month so we can talk about it further.
We'll see you soon, man. Enjoy the gala and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here and thank you for staying up across the pond, darling.
No worries. Take care.
Ciao. Good to see you. You guys, I want to introduce a young lady, you know, talent for talent, right? We start with Lyndon. I'm in my car. Yes, that's true. But I have some amazing people that I want to pull over for. Right now, today, we're joined by Carrie M. Sawyer, international best-selling author, speaker, thought leader in diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that is not a dirty word or
no, diversity. It's not.
It's not. And we're going to tell them why. As the CEO of Diversity by Design and founder of Inclusion, First Institute Cary brings over 20 years of human-centered design expertise to help organizations create cultures where everyone belongs. Her best-selling book, Ripples of Inclusion, turning to your questions about anti-racism in action, allyship, and activism, offers a practical roadmap for transforming good intentions into meaningful impact. And the reason why I'm reading it is because it's meaningful and there's a lot in there that she's done and I didn't want to miss a beat. Welcome to the show, Ms. Sawyer. How are you?
Hi, Monique. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. You look beautiful. I hear you're going to a gala. Amazing.
Thank you, dear. I don't usually do a lot of calls in my car, but I couldn't let anyone down. And this is to help transplant recipients. And Vanessa Williams is going to be there. So amazing. Let's raise some money.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's go full screen. Yes, let's go full screen. Cary, you're going to take this over and introduce yourself to the LA Talk Radio family. Sam, let's go full screen.
Awesome. Hi, fam. My name is Cary Sawyer. I am so many things. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a mother. I'm a nonprofit founder. I'm an author. And I'm really here just to help to create more connection between people. We heard Monique talk about my business. It's called Diversity by Design. We use this amazing technique called design thinking to help organizations create more equitable business outcomes. So what does that mean in real terms? It really just means we help create connection between people, between teams, between systems, between companies. When those connections fail, when they need to be rebuilt, it's all about connections. And really, that is why diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging can never be a dirty word, because it's about creating those connections between people. And that is what I specialize in.
Yes, 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 yes. So good. So good. So as Ms. Sawyer was saying, Cary Sawyer, for Cary or Sawyer?
Cary.
Ms. Sawyer, you know, what's important with this, what's important for people to understand is that meeting somebody where they are, where you can see, like, for instance, I had an experience at an airport and someone that perhaps had some things most in common with me than least in common with me, was able to approach me and diffuse something or help. And I was more open to it because we were relating to each other. And so that was inclusion and equity to de-escalate something and not be a problem for anyone. Not that I was a problem, but my point is having people that are assets to the community of your brand and the people that are there could save you so many things. I want to speak to you specifically. Yeah. Like about that, like what are people missing when they say DEI, when they've turned it, some people have turned it on its neck and it's not theirs to turn and it's not theirs to burn. Like it is here to stay. Like, so teach us if you could from your scope.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we're learning in this time is that people who work in diversity, equity, inclusion, we've been able to live in our acronym, in like the letters and the mystery of the words instead of the impact of the words a lot of the time. And so when we think about diversity, that really is just the different things that make us unique and special, whether it is the color of my skin or the fact that I have a 3-year-old or that I love to play volleyball. All of these things make me diverse, and we all have things that make us diverse. We're all beautiful, unique snowflakes, and that is diversity. Inclusion is really just what you were talking about, bringing each other together, bringing people to the table, making sure that when we are creating, when we're creating anything really, whether we're in schools or at work or at home in our community, that we're considering who's there and who isn't, and really trying to make sure that we're bringing people in. Equity is about meeting people where they are, the needs that they have, understanding that we all have different backgrounds and different circumstances. And that might mean we need a little different kind of help or a different kind of understanding. That is all equity. And then belonging, I really like to describe that as when everything is really working together and you are feeling like you're seen and that your identity is accepted and that you're being included and that you're being met where you are. All of it comes together to create this really just safe and special feeling. Like we all know when we feel like we belong. And if you can't think of a time, think about a time where you didn't belong, right? We also feel that, right? And so that feeling of belonging is when all of those things are working together. And this ecosystem that I just explained is really just all about what it means to be human, what it means to interact in our families, in our communities. That's why it can't ever go away, because we're doing it all the time, every day. Even if you think you don't like diversity or you're not a fan of inclusion, like, you are including people. You want your son or daughter to be included in the student council if they decide to go out for it. You want to feel like when you're, you know, at the grocery store and you drop stuff on the floor, that someone's going to help you pick it up. Yeah. This is just about being one together. And it's really just as simple as that. And it's just as innate and on automatic even as that, helping each other out.
Yes, yes, yes. I love everything that you said, it and everything you just said. And I think, you know, you also, it's funny because I'm bringing, there's a lot of examples of
so
when
much, so many layers. I've seen it.
So many layers. And, you know, with the pandemic project, when I went around the world during the pandemic and America during the pandemic, I saw it in real time, but also just every day, like you said, the simple things. It doesn't have to be so big and great and grand. Mm-hmm. And guys, the thing is, if you like food, you probably don't eat the same food every night. Right? Every day. You probably want a little diversity in your food, right? Mm-hmm. And you might want to have inclusion of sauces and spices and cultures and experiences. If we can just, I think Anthony Bourdain was genius in this, and God rest him, but you know, just communicating over a meal and being in someone's atmosphere, wherever they were in the world, was the key, was the glue. So I would love for people to just kind of go basic to that. Now, let's, now that we've kind of brought people to where they can meet us, talk to us about what you have going on and how can people support and be a part of this and hire you?
Yeah, absolutely. So organizations bring me in when their people are having some level or some form of conflict. And that can be a little conflict, it can be a big conflict, it can be system, it can be teams. And what we like to do is really understand the experiences of the people in those organizations. So we always start off with getting data, gathering data, talking to real people, getting real experiences, so that everything that we recommend isn't cookie cutter. It's not out of the box. It has to do with exactly what's happening within your organization. And so a big part of this idea of ripples of inclusion of the book and of creating that in organizations as well is us understanding that we all have a role to play. We have a role to play as people on a team. We have a role to play as organizations and as companies, and really figuring out what is the way that we can all make the world a better, more connected place. And so people bring us in to talk about all kinds of different things. And the design thinking that we do, I like to call design thinking kind of like the ultimate hammer, because it can shift and morph into this tool that can help in any way, because it really brings in the experiences of people that I was talking about and uses that as the foundation, so that at the end of the day, you can say, hey, why are we doing this? Well, because we talk to our people and we understand that this is the need that they have. And this is a solution that we're going to bring to that need. And this is how we're going to help and watch and see that it's working and pivot when we need to and all of those types of things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually really, really diligent and also and ethical for any corporation, brand, scalable business to address that, because you can cut off a lot of things, like we mentioned at the top, a lot of issues on the back end. So I think this is a value add. I think that perhaps the science would back that this avoids any escalation in some corporations. I mean, do you have any firsthand? I know that things are confidential, you don't have to name any names, but have you seen it in real time, in real action, scale back any further escalation in things? And being,
yeah, I mean, absolutely. When we think about, so when I started this book, it was really after the murder of George Floyd, and so much has happened since then. And we've come full circle almost, right? But what we noticed is that a lot of voices were starting to come out, that maybe voices that weren't heard at organizations before. And so people weren't sure how to integrate those voices, and people weren't always sure how to use their voice in the best way. And so having someone there who can help to bring people together. And I feel like in the world that we're in right now, where there is so much polarization, so much back and forth, so much negativity and hostility, having people in the room that are experts at creating connection when there's so much disconnection really just helps you to avoid those bombs, whether the bomb is something that you maybe anticipated or something that you didn't expect, because we just haven't had these conversations in this way that we're having at this time. And the conversations are so important and they're so intense that having help, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. I was in, I was on a panel the other day and someone asked me a question. I'm like, well, I don't know the answer to that question. And I think it's okay to say that we don't know the answer, but what we're going to do is we're going to talk through it. We're going to get smart people, the right people in the room. We're going to talk through it and work through it together. And that's what we do.
Yes, yes, yes. Excellence on a Sunday. You guys, ripples of inclusion, turning your questions about anti-racism into action, allyship, and activism, excuse me, my blah, blah, blah. You guys, listen, find your place in that title. So I'll read it again. Ripples of inclusion, turning your questions about anti-racism, there's the book, into action, allyship, and activism. Find your peace. Let's say you have a friend and you don't know how to approach them. We had a conversation with someone that is trans, and my friend who is Caucasian had a question, and I knew someone that would be gentle and receive, but it's all about how you approach things. Not that people are sensitive or need you to coddle to them, but people feel energy when you're authentic. So find your place in this book. Get this book. It's holiday season, you guys. Stocking stuffers, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, anything you do or don't celebrate, birthdays, anniversaries. Let's have this kitchen table talk. We have to get together. Carrie, you mentioned George Floyd, and I'm not sure if you know this, but Uncle Selwyn is a partner and work in things, and I would love to further that conversation, maybe have you and do a split screen with him. But thank you for your work you do. You guys, if you're having a corporate meeting, a golf tournament, yes ma'am, if you're having a golf tournament or a book signing or a corporate thing, get with Carrie's team, see if she's available. Miss Sawyer can help ease those questions. Yes. It's a good protection ad for your brand, your business, your corporation to have an expert come in and educate people, because a conversation doesn't hurt. A conversation isn't illegal. A conversation might save you more pain on the long end. And you know what? We're not going away. People of color have built this, and we're not going away. We're not going nowhere anywhere. Right, Carrie?
Absolutely. We're here, and we're here to work with everyone, right? It's all about unity. It's all about the love between all people. So
that's it.
We're here to further that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. I'm going to go full screen for 2 minutes and let Carrie give a closing word and show the book and tell people why they should pick up the book one more time and where they can get it. Let's go full screen.
Absolutely. So you can get my book, Ripples of Inclusion, on Amazon. And this book really is all about understanding the common questions that people have when it comes to anti-racism. And I think anti-racism is really just one of the many isms. This book helps with all of the isms because it's all transferable. Anytime that we need to connect with people who are different from us, it is really a resource. I collected 700 questions from around the U.S., common questions that people had about anti-racism, and I boiled it down into the top questions and the top answers to help people. And so if you need help, whether you feel like your questions are stupid or maybe a little bit racist, or it doesn't really matter. As long as you're coming from a place of wanting to learn more and do better, this book is for you because it has the answers that you need. I mean, it's a great place to start, right? There's so many great resources, but this is a good place to start if you're feeling like, hey, I need help.
This is beautiful, and you are using beautiful energy to address this. Thank you for your work. I can't wait to see what you do next. And give us where we can buy it. Amazon, of course, or if anyone wants to reach out to your team, you guys look up this book. Congratulations, 700 questions is quite the bite, and you have a lot of brass.
Thank you.
Yes, can we get the logistics or the demographics of where those questions were fielded from?
Yeah, so we actually collected them all. This was all during the pandemic, so everything shut down. So everything came in through our website. They came in through our live workshops that we did. And honestly, it's from all states, like across the U.S., all ages, all genders, like everything. We got such a beautiful, beautiful representation of questions. And you'll actually see real questions in the book and where that person was from in the country, so you can kind of connect into them. We added that little touch.
I can't wait to see you just blow up with this. I know that there are corporations that really want to lean into it. And I hope you'll come back when you're a big old star and see us here. And happy holidays. Yes, Clary. Thank you for having the time to meet with me tonight. And we'll see you soon, okay? Great. What we start up to get, you guys, get Carrie's book, get educated. Don't be afraid to ask questions. That's how we get together. And it's ripples. Exactly. Of inclusion. So ripple into inclusion because you're included and we love you.
Thank you.
See you guys next week. Ciao.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray only on LA Talk Radio.